Sunshine. That's what you need, Aunt Jane. You had a bad go of pneumonia last winter, and we don't want anything like that again this year, do we?
Oh, no, we certainly do not.
So, I've arranged a little holiday for you. In the West Indies.
Oh, but surely, Raymond, I would never be able to...
It's all paid for, all organized.
That's really very kind of you, Raymond. But who will look after the cottage while I'm away?
That's all organized, too. I've a friend who's writing a novel and wants a quiet hideaway in the country. He'll look after the place all right. He's very house-proud. Probably because he's queer. That's to say...
There's no need to be embarrassed, Raymond. I know what a queer is. And where exactly is this place?
Saint-Honoré, the Golden Palm Hotel. You'll have your own little bungalow, and there's a good doctor on the island in case of emergency. You can spend day after day sitting under the palm trees in a deck chair reading the latest novels without a care in the world. It'll be perfect.
We present June Whitfield as Miss Marple in Agatha Christie's A Caribbean Mystery.
Do you mean that you've had no sexual experience at all at 19? But you must. It's vital. The girl hung her head unhappily. Her straight, greasy hair fell forward over her face. I know, she muttered. I know. Well, really, to have sex experience urged on you as though it were an iron tonic.
Mind you, I had some fascinating experiences when I was up country in Becky Wallerland.
I was reading one of the modern novels my nephew Raymond West had given me as a way of taking refuge from Major Palgrave's incessant monologue. But after only a few pages, I decided that the Major, with his glass eye and the general appearance of a stuffed frog, was infinitely preferable to the novelist's idea of real life.
Mind you, some of the things they got up to out there weren't fit for a lady's ears.
I have led a very sheltered life, I'm afraid, and you've led such a rich and exciting one.
Well, not bad, not bad at all. No complaints. Lovely place, this. Sea and palm trees, huh?
It is indeed. I hope you don't mind my going on with my knitting.
Oh, your privilege, dear lady. Very suitable occupation.
Does anything ever happen here, I wonder?
Oh, rather. Plenty of scandals. There was even a murder here a couple of years ago. A man called Harry Weston made a big splash in the papers. Don't you remember it?
He shot his wife's lover, didn't he? As I recall, everyone seems to have been drunk at the time.
Talking of murder, I once came across a very curious case, not exactly personally.
Do go on.
And the chap who told me the story was a medical man. Young fellow came and knocked him up in the middle of the night, and his wife had hanged herself. She wasn't dead, but pretty far gone. Anyway, she pulled through. Young fellow seemed devoted to her, cried like a child, noticed that she'd been ill for some time, fits of depression and all that. Everything seemed all right. The wife seemed to have made a full recovery. But actually, about a month later, she took an overdose of sleeping stuff and passed out. Sad case.
Yes, very sad.
And that's that, you might say. Nothing suspicious there. Neurotic woman, nothing out of the usual. About a year later, this medical chap was swapping yarns with a fellow medico. And the other chap told him about a woman who tried to drown herself. Her husband got her out. They pulled around, and then a few weeks later, she gassed herself.
A very curious coincidence.
Oh, yes, you wait. The chaps looked at one another and said it was pretty odd, and then my chap pulled out a snapshot and showed it to the second chap. That's the fellow, he said. I'd gone along the next day to check up on the particulars, and I noticed a magnificent species of hibiscus just by the front door. My camera was in the car, and so I took a photo. Just as I snapped the shutter, the husband came out of the door, and I got him as well. I don't think he realized it. Anyway, the second chap took a look at the photo. He said, it's a bit out of focus, but I could swear. At any rate, I'm almost sure it's the same man.
And did they follow it up?
No idea. But if they did, they didn't get anywhere. Queer story, isn't it? wouldn't think things like that could happen.
Oh, yes, I would. Practically every day. If a man gets a formula that works, he won't stop. He'll go on.
Fries in the bath, eh?
That kind of thing, yes.
Doctor, let me have the snapshot as a curiosity. I mean, lots of odds and ends in here. Don't know why I keep these things. No, that's an elephant I shot in Kenya.
What
tusks, Sergeant. I've forgotten all about that business. Good-looking woman she was. You never suspect it. Now, where? Like to see the picture of a murderer? Well, I'm damned. I mean, as I was saying, I'd like to have shown you those elephant tusks. Biggest elephant I ever shot. Look who's here. Inseparables. The loyal quartet. What luck have you had today?
No luck at all. At least no luck in getting what we were after.
Birds and butterflies, that's what they're looking for, Miss Marple. How remiss of me. Do you know Miss Marple, Colonel and Mrs. Hillingdon?
How do you do?
How do you do?
So pleased to meet you.
Greg and Lucky Dyson.
How do you do, Miss Marple?
How do you do?
Hello. I shall die if somebody doesn't get me a drink.
Well, Tim Kendall's just over there.
Hi, Tim. Could you get us some drinks?
Certainly, Mr. Dyson. What's it to be?
Planner's punch.
That'll do very well.
Just what the doctor ordered.
The same for you, Miss Marple.
Thank you, but I would prefer fresh lime.
Fresh lime it is, and 5 Planner's punches.
Care to join us, Tim?
Only wish I could. I've got the accounts to do. Can't leave Molly to cope with everything.
I'm all over thorns. Edward deliberately shoved me into a thorn bush.
Lovely pink flowers.
And lovely long thorns. Sadistic brute, aren't you, Edward?
Not like me. Full of the milk of human kindness. Aren't I, Evelyn?
If you say so, Greg.
Oh, by the way, we've got a steel band on tonight.
Oh, I adore steel bands. But do go get us those drinks, Tim, before I expire.
I must admit, I could well have done without the steel band. It was a hideous noise and quite unnecessarily loud. Music for young people, I suppose. But none of these people were young. They were all in their 30s and 40s. For really young people, it was too expensive and too far away. It seemed a pity, somehow.
Oh, what a lovely dress you're wearing tonight, Mrs. Dyson.
Oh.
Molly Kendall was quite young, of course. She couldn't have been older than 22 or 3, and she seemed to be enjoying herself.
I'm so jealous, I could tear it off your back.
Or was she just doing her job? Keeping all her customers happy.
I simply love that shawl you're wearing, Molly. Such a pretty color.
Oh, they sell them at the shop here.
Really? Oh, I must get one.
Would you care to take your coffee at our table, Miss Marple?
Canon Prescott, how kind of you.
You know my sister, of course.
Good evening, Miss Prescott. How nice of you to join us, Miss Marple. We've been having a very worthy day, visiting a new girls' school on the other side of the island.
How very enterprising of you. I have done nothing except sit under the palm trees with my knitting.
What a very pleasant way to pass the time.
Tell me, who is the elderly gentleman sitting over there in the corner?
Oh, that's Mr. Raphael. He comes here every year.
He's quite fantastically rich. He owns an enormous chain of supermarkets in the north of England.
Oh.
The young woman with him is his secretary, Esther Walters. She's a widow.
Nothing improper, of course. Very nice young woman. Her mother, I understand, lives in Chichester.
Mr. Raphael has a valet with him, too, or rather a kind of nurse attendant. Jackson, his name is. Dear Mr. Raphael is practically paralyzed. So sad. With all that money, too.
Oh, a generous and a cheerful giver.
Mr. Raphael didn't look particularly cheerful. He resembled nothing so much as a wrinkled old bird of prey. His clothes hung loosely on his shrunken form. He might have been 70 or 80 or even 90.
Oh, honestly. Now, those people with Major Polgrave.
Yes, I was going to ask you about them. I met them this afternoon, but I've really no idea who they are.
They were here last year. They spend 3 months every year in the West Indies going round the different islands. The tall, thin one is Colonel Hillingdon, and the dark woman is his wife, Evelyn. They are botanists. Dysons. And the other two, Mr. and Mrs. Gregory Dyson, they are American. He writes for Butterflies, I believe. And all of them are interested in birds.
So nice for people to have open-air hobbies.
I don't think they'd like to hear you call them hobbies, Jeremy.
Huh?
They have articles printed in the National Geographic and in the Royal Horticultural Journal. They take themselves very seriously.
They don't seem to be taking themselves very seriously at the moment.
Bravo! Let's have another round. Right? Tim, same again, if you please.
Major Palgrave should not drink so much. He has high blood pressure.
It's so nice to get people sorted out. When I met them earlier, I wasn't sure who was married to whom.
Well, as to that...
Joan, perhaps it would be wise to say no more.
Really, Jeremy, I wasn't going to say anything. Only last year, for some reason or other, we got the idea that Mrs. Dyson was Mrs. Hillingdon, until someone told us that she wasn't.
It is odd how one gets impressions, isn't it? Mr. Dyson calls his wife Lucky. That can't be her real name, surely.
I've no idea what her real name is. I happened to ask him about it. He said he called her Lucky because she was his good luck piece. If he lost her, he said, he'd lose his luck. Very nicely put, I thought.
Yes, he's very fond of joking.
Are you tired, darling?
Just a bit. I seem to be feeling my feet tonight.
Not too much for you, is it? I know it's hard work.
Oh, Tim, don't be ridiculous. I love every moment of it here. It's wonderful. The kind of life I've always dreamed of.
You think it's working out all right? We're making a go of it.
Of course we are. We're a splendid team. You charm the old pussies and manage to look as though you'd like to make love to all the desperate women in their 40s and 50s. And I ogle the old gentlemen and make them feel sexy dogs or play the sweet little daughter the sentimental ones would like to have had. Oh, we've got it all taped.
As long as you think so. I get scared sometimes. We've risked everything on making a go of this. I chucked a good, steady job.
And you were quite right to do so. It was utterly soul-destroying. Why must you always worry?
I'm made that way, I suppose. I'm always wondering what might happen if something went wrong.
What do you mean? What sort of thing?
Oh, I don't know. Somebody might get drowned.
Rubbish. It's one of the safest beaches on the island.
Oh, I know. I'm a fool. I should stop worrying. You haven't had any more of those awful dreams, have you?
That was shellfish.
Good morning, Miss Marple. I brought you your breakfast.
Oh, thank you, Victoria.
Shall I draw the curtains?
Yes, if you'd be so kind. Oh, another fine sunny day. But I suppose that all the days here are fine and sunny.
Mostly, miss, except when there's hurricanes.
Oh, I don't call that weather. That's more in the nature of an act of God.
And we often get heavy rainstorms, but they never last for long. One minute everything's wringing wet, and the next it's dry again. Enjoy your breakfast.
A boiled egg and a slice of pawpaw. Somehow it always seems to be pawpaw. Oh, what wouldn't I give for a nice apple? Apples seem to be quite unknown here. So, how am I going to spend today? Same as usual, I suppose. Sit on the terrace with my knitting? Or go down to the beach and watch the bathers and the children? It really doesn't matter very much. Today will be a day like any other day here.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Kendall.
Good morning, Miss Marple.
My dear, you look quite distressed. Oh, do sit down.
Thank you.
Is there something wrong?
I'm afraid there is. Oh, you'll have to know sooner or later. Everyone will. It's Major Palgrave. He's dead.
Dead?
Yes, he died in the night.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Oh, yes, it's horrid having a death here. It makes everyone depressed. Of course, he was quite old.
He seemed quite well and cheerful yesterday. I had a long talk with him. Perfectly healthy, I thought he was.
He did have high blood pressure.
But surely there are things one takes nowadays, some kind of pill.
Oh, yes, but perhaps he forgot to take his pills or took too many of them.
Hmm. What does the doctor say?
Fortunately, Dr. Graham lives here in the hotel. He's practically retired now. He took a look at him, and the local people came officially, of course, to give a death certificate. It all seems quite straightforward. This kind of thing is quite liable to happen when you have high blood pressure, especially if you overdo the alcohol. And Major Palgrave was really very naughty that way. Last night, for instance.
Yes, I noticed he was very merry.
So he probably forgot to take his pills. It is bad luck for the old boy, but people can't live forever, can they? But it's terribly worrying. For me and Tim, I mean. People might suggest it was something in the food.
But surely the symptoms of food poisoning and of blood pressure are quite different.
Yes, but people do say things so easily. And if the guests decided the food was to blame and left or told their friends...
Oh, I really don't think you need worry, my dear. As you say, an elderly man like Major Palgrave, well, he must have been over 70, is quite liable to die without warning. To most people it will seem quite an ordinary occurrence. Sad, but not out of the way at all.
I'm sure you're right. If only it hadn't been so sudden.
I don't like it, I don't like it at all. It's too pat, too convenient. One day he's sitting there telling me about a murder, about more than one murder, and the next... He was hunting in his wallet for a photograph.
Like to see the picture of a murderer?
But he never did show it to me. He looked up and saw something, someone, behind me. Behind my right shoulder, and he suddenly stopped. He went quite purple in the face, and he put the picture back into his wallet and started stuffing it back into his pocket. And then the Hillingdons and the Dysons joined us. What made him put the photograph away and start talking about some elephant he'd shot? Who was it that he saw? Could it possibly have been the person in the snapshot? Somehow or other, I must get a look at that photograph. Victoria? Victoria?
Yes, Miss Marple? Is there something I can get you?
I'm not feeling very well, I'm afraid.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Miss Marple. Can I help you in some way? What can I get you?
Would you ask Dr. Graham if he'd be good enough to come and see me? I'm going back to my bungalow.
Well, there's nothing radically wrong with your knee, Miss Marple, as far as I can see. Oh. But if it's giving you pain, there are some pills which ought to relieve it. I'll give you a prescription.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Doctor.
Not at all. It's my job, after all. And you're sure that that's all that's troubling you?
There is something I should like to ask you, Dr. Graham. I really don't like mentioning it, but I don't quite see what else I'm to do. Although, of course, it is quite unimportant, really. But you see, it is important to me.
Something is worrying you. What is it?
It's connected with Major Palgrave. So sad about his dying. It was quite a shock when I heard about it this morning.
Yes, it was very sudden, I'm afraid. He seemed in such good spirits yesterday.
We were sitting outside my bungalow talking together. He was telling me about his varied and interesting life.
Yes, he often talked to me about it.
And then he spoke of his family and his boyhood, and I told him a little about my own nephews and nieces, and he listened very sympathetically. And I showed him a snapshot I had with me of one of my nephews, such a dear boy. Well, at least not exactly a boy now, but always a boy to me, if you understand.
Quite so.
I handed it to him, and he was examining it when, quite suddenly, those people... Oh, those very nice people who collect flowers and butterflies...
The Hillingdons and the Dysons.
Yes, that's right. They came along laughing and talking. They sat down and ordered drinks, and we all talked together, and without thinking, Major Palgrave must have put my snapshot into his wallet and returned it to his pocket. I wasn't paying much attention at the time, but I remembered afterwards, and I said to myself, I mustn't forget to ask the Major to give me back my picture of Denzil in the morning. Only this morning...
Quite so. I do understand. And you naturally want the snapshot back, is that it?
Yes, that's it. You see, it's the only one I possess, and I haven't got the negative, and I would so hate to lose that snapshot, because poor Denzil died some 5 or 6 years ago, and he was my favourite nephew. I wondered, it is rather tiresome of me, I know, whether you could possibly manage to get hold of it for me. I don't really know who else to ask, you see.
Of course, I quite understand. Actually, I'm meeting the local authorities shortly, and someone will be coming to look over his papers and effects before communicating with his next of kin. If you could describe the snapshot,
It's just the front of a house, and someone, Denzel, I mean, coming out of the front door.
Uh-huh.
It was taken by one of my other nephews, who's rather fond of flower shows, and he was photographing a rather fine hibiscus, and Denzel just happened to come out of the house at the time. It wasn't a very good photograph of him, I'm afraid. It's rather blurred, in fact, but I liked it, and I've always kept it.
Well, that seems clear enough. I don't envisage that we'll have any difficulty in getting your picture back for you, Miss Marple.
He was such a nice man, and I felt rather ashamed of having to tell him so many lies, but what else was I to do? The funeral of Major Palgrave took place the following day. I went with Miss Prescott, and her brother the Canon read the service. After that, life went on as usual. The Major's death was a slightly unpleasant incident, but one that was soon forgotten. Life here was sunshine, sea, and social pleasures. In another week's time, nobody would even remember him or spare him a passing thought. Rather to my surprise, I found that I quite missed him.
Good afternoon, Miss Marple.
Good afternoon, Dr. Graham.
I have rather disappointing news for you, I'm afraid.
Oh, you mean about
yes. We haven't found that precious snapshot of yours. I fear it will be a great disappointment to you.
Yes. Yes, it is, but of course it doesn't really matter. It was just sentimentality, I realize that now. It wasn't in Major Palgrave's wallet, then?
No, nor anywhere among his things. There were a few letters and newspaper clippings in various odds and ends, but no sign of a snapshot, such as you've mentioned.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, it can't be helped. Thank you very much for the trouble you've taken.
Oh, it was no trouble. I know very well from my own experience how much family trifles mean to one, especially as one is getting older.
Quite. It seems so sad to think of the Major dying so far away from home. Though I gather he had no immediate family, it seems he lived by himself in London.
He travelled a fair amount, I believe. At any rate, in the winter, he didn't care for our English winters. Can't say I blame him.
He had high blood pressure, I believe.
I didn't know that. He spoke to you about it,
didn't he? Oh, no. He never mentioned it. It was somebody else who told me. I suppose death was to be expected under those circumstances.
Well, not necessarily. There are methods of controlling blood pressure nowadays.
His death did seem very sudden. You were not surprised?
Well, I wasn't particularly surprised in a man of that age, but I certainly didn't expect it. Frankly, he always seemed to me to be in very good form, but I'd never attended him professionally.
Does one know, I mean, does a doctor know, when a man has high blood pressure simply by looking at him?
Not just by looking. One has to do a bit of testing.
Oh, you mean that dreadful thing when they put a band of rubber round your arm and blow it up. Oh, I just like it so much. My doctor said that my blood pressure was really very good for my age.
That's reassuring.
Of course, the Major was rather fond of planter's punch.
Yes, alcohol's not the best thing if you have blood pressure.
One takes tablets, doesn't one?
Yes, there was a bottle of them in Palgrave's room. Serenite, I think they were.
How wonderful medicine is nowadays.
How's the knee? Not been too troublesome?
No, no, it seems much better.
Sorry I couldn't be more helped you over that snapshot business.
You could not have been kinder. Did you say there were no photographs in the Major's wallet?
Oh, yes. There was one of an elephant and another of a dead tiger. He was standing with his foot on it. Snaps of that sort. But the one you described of your nephew was definitely not there. I looked very carefully, I assure you.
Oh, I'm sure you did, and I didn't mean that. I was just interested. We all keep such very odd things.
Treasures from the past. But I must be on my way, Miss Marple.
Goodbye, Doctor, and thank you.
Good day, Miss Marple.
Major Palgrave would never have thrown that photograph away. He replaced it in his wallet, and it should have been there after his death. So whoever took it must have had a very particular reason for doing so. Was it just a coincidence that the Major should have died on that same night? And did he really suffer from blood pressure? If someone stole that snapshot, the same person could have put the bottle of tablets in his room. Or am I just making the whole thing up? Do I really have anything to go on?
Like to see the picture of a murderer?
I can't just leave things as they are. Who could the Major have seen that made him put the snapshot away so hurriedly? Was it the Dysons or the Hillingdons? Or could he have seen that valet of Mr. Raphael's coming out of the door of his bungalow? That would have been in his line of sight over my shoulder. I will just have to look into it all very carefully. Wake up, man.
What do you want, Vicky? It's the middle of the night.
Wake up, Jim. I want to talk to you.
What's so important that it won't wait till tomorrow? What's worrying you?
That Major Palgrave who died. There's something wrong about it.
What do you want to worry about that for? He was old. He died.
It's the pills. The pills the doctor asked me about.
What about them? He took too many, maybe.
No, it's not that. No. Listen, I've never seen them in his room before.
So what? There's nothing in that. Just forget about it, Vicky. There's no good looking for trouble. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone and go back to sleep.
I can't do that. I'll speak to Mrs. Kendall in the morning. There's something wrong about the way he died.
I had taken my knitting down to the beach and found a shady place for myself. Old Mr. Raphael was there, looking painfully thin in his beach attire and giving his secretary a very hard time as usual.
Are you going to take your dip now, Mr. Raphael?
I'll go in when I'm ready.
It's past your usual time.
And what of that? You should know very well by now. I'm not the kind of man to be tied by the clock. I'm perfectly happy sitting here.
Very well, Mr. Raphael.
And I don't like these espadrilles. I told that fool Jackson that they pinch my feet. The man never pays attention to a word I say.
I'll fetch you some others.
No, you won't. You'll sit down here and keep quiet. I hate people rushing around like clucking hens.
You don't mind if I put myself down here, do you, Miss Marple?
No, no, of course not. I'll move my chair.
Thanks. Oh, I'm afraid the beach does get rather crowded at this time of the morning.
Oh, it doesn't worry me, really. I can still hardly believe that I'm here. I have never been to the West Indies before, you know, Mrs. Hillingdon. I suppose you know this part of the world very well.
I've been on this island once or twice before.
You go looking for butterflies, don't you, and wild flowers?
Hmm.
You and your friends? Or are they relatives?
The Dysons. Friends, nothing more.
And I suppose you go about together a great deal because of your interests being the same?
Yes, we've travelled with one another for some years now.
I'm sure you must have had some rather exciting adventures.
I don't think so. Adventures always seem to happen to other people.
No dangerous encounters with snakes or wild animals?
Nothing worse than insect bites.
Lord Major Palgrave, you know, was bitten by a snake once.
Was he?
Did he never tell you about it?
Perhaps. I don't remember.
He always had such interesting stories to tell.
What are you going on about? Major Palgrave was a ghastly old bore, and he was a fool. He needs to have died if he looked after himself properly.
Oh, come now, Mr. Raphael.
I know what I'm talking about, Esther. If you look after your health properly, you're all right anywhere. Now, look at me. The doctors gave me up years ago. All right, I say. I've got my own rules of health, and I shall keep to them. And here I am.
Poor Major Palgrave had high blood pressure.
Nonsense.
Oh, but he did.
Who says so? Did he tell you?
He looked very red in the face.
You can't go by that. But anyway, I know he didn't have high blood pressure because he told me.
What do you mean he told you? I mean, you can't exactly tell people you haven't got a thing.
Yes, you can. I said to him once, when he was downing all those planters' punches and eating too much, I said, you ought to watch your diet and your drink. You've got to think of your blood pressure at your age. And he said he'd nothing to look out for in that line, that his blood pressure was very good for his age.
But he took some medicine for it, I believe. Something called, something like serenite.
If you ask me, I don't think he ever liked to admit there could be anything the matter with him, or that he could be ill. I think he was one of those people who are afraid of illness.
The trouble is, everybody's too fond of knowing other people's ailments. They think everybody over 50 is going to die of hypertension or coronary thrombosis or one of those things. That's rubbish. If a man says there's nothing wrong with him, I don't suppose there is. And a man ought to know about his own health. What's the time?
12:15.
A quarter to 12? I ought to have had my dip long ago. Why can't you remind me about these things? Look, help me up, will you, Esther?
Have you been here, Evelyn? What's the water like?
Just the same as always.
Never much variation, is there? Do you know where Lucky is?
I've no idea, Greg. I haven't seen her.
Oh, well. It's time I gave my celebrated impersonation of a whale. The fastest crawl in St. Honoré!
You coming in again, Evelyn?
Why not? There isn't anything else to do.
The Hillingdons and the Dysons. I couldn't help feeling there was something distinctly odd about that relationship. And was it one of them that Major Palgrave had caught sight of when he was about to show me the picture of a murderer? And was that why he had suddenly put it back into his wallet? I was certain that there was something wrong about the Major's death.
May I speak to you, Mrs. Kendall?
Yes, of course, Victoria. What is it?
I'd like to tell you something.
Is anything wrong?
I don't know for sure. It's about the old Major gentleman who died.
What about him?
There was a bottle of pills in his room.
Yes.
The doctor found them on the bathroom shelf. He seemed quite satisfied, but I got to thinking afterwards. Those pills, the serenite, they weren't there before.
You mean you think that...
I don't know what to think. I just wanted to tell you about it. Perhaps you could talk to the doctor. Perhaps someone put the pills there so he took them and died.
Oh, I don't imagine that's at all likely.
You don't know. People do bad things.
I'll make inquiries, Victoria, don't worry. And above all, don't go starting a lot of silly rumours.
No, Mrs. Kendall, I won't. And thank you. I just felt I had to tell somebody. Oh, good morning, Mr. Kendall.
Hello, Victoria. Tell somebody what?
She says the pills, the ones Dr. Graham found in the Major's room, weren't there before.
What were the pills, anyway?
Well, I don't really know. The doctor who came over for the inquest, Dr. Robinson, said they were something to do with blood pressure, I think.
Well, there's nothing unusual in that. Lots of people take those sorts of pills.
I know, but Victoria seemed to think it might have been one of those pills that killed him.
Oh, darling, that's a bit too melodramatic. You mean that somebody might have changed his blood pressure pills for something else and that they poisoned him?
It does sound absurd when you put it like that. But you know how they work themselves up, these girls.
Well, if you're really worried about it, we'd better go and ask Dr. Graham. He's bound to know.
But how could the girl get such a fantastic idea into her head? Did she see anything or hear anything?
Well, all she said was that there was a bottle labelled stone something.
Serenite, a well-known preparation. He'd been taking it regularly.
Apparently, Victoria said she'd never seen it in his room before.
Never seen it there before? What does she mean?
Well, she cleans his room every day, and I suppose she knew the things in there off by heart. Tooth powder, shaving things. But this serenite, she hadn't seen it there until the day after he died.
That's certainly very odd. I suppose I'd better have a word with the girl myself.
I'll get her to come over and see you.
I don't want to get in no trouble. I didn't put that bottle there, and I don't know who did.
But do you really think it was put there?
Well, you see, Doctor, it must have been put there if it wasn't there before.
Major Palgrave could have kept it in a drawer, or in a dispatch case.
But why would he want to do that if he was taking the stuff all the time?
You're right. You'd have had to take it several times a day. You never saw him taking it.
No, he didn't have it there before. So I thought that if the stuff had something to do with his death, poisoned his blood, then maybe an enemy put it there to kill him.
Well, that's absolute nonsense. The serenite couldn't possibly do anyone any harm. Quite the contrary. I can assure you that there was nothing wrong with that medicine. It was the proper thing for a man to take who had high blood pressure.
Well, thank you, Doctor. You've certainly taken a load off my mind.
I'm very glad to hear it. You needn't worry about the matter any more.
I won't do that. Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye. Administrator's office, I'd like to speak to Mr. Davenger, please. Yes, it is quite urgent.
There's that interfering old biddy coming out of a bungalow. This place isn't what it used to be. Can't move a step without some old hen getting under your feet. Have you typed those letters out yet?
I haven't had time.
Well, I can't see why that is. I bring you out here to do a bit of work, not to sit about sunning yourself and showing off your figure.
Such a lovely evening, isn't it?
Well, why not? That's what we're here for, isn't it?
Oh, you're so severe.
Of course, the weather is a very English subject of conversation. One forgets. Oh dear. This is the wrong wool. How foolish of me. You don't mind my leaving my knitting bag here, do you? I shan't be long.
I must get away while I've got the chance. Jackson!
Don't you think she might consider it rather rude?
I don't care what she considers. Jackson! What do old ladies come to the West Indies for, anyway?
Where do you suggest they should go?
Well, to Cheltenham or Bournemouth or Torquay or Lancashire or Wells. Plenty of choice. They like places like that. Where the hell is that Jackson?
I'm here, Mr. Raphael.
I'll have my massage now before that chattering old hen comes back. Now, that massage does me a bit of good. Take me back inside.
Yes,
Mr. Raphael. So silly of me. Oh, I do hope I'm not disturbing you.
Of course not. I've got to go off and do some typing in a minute, but I'm going to enjoy the sunset for a while first. Mr. Raphael's gone inside for a massage.
I couldn't help feeling just a little bit curious about Esther Walters. No one could possibly describe her as glamorous, but she was quite attractive. Or could have been, if she'd tried. So why didn't she? Surely Mr. Raphael wouldn't have minded. He was so completely taken up in his own affairs that she might have got herself up like a houri in paradise without him objecting. Besides, he always went to bed very early, and in the evening hours she might well have blossomed. But it was time to lead the conversation in the direction of Mr. Raphael's valet. It must be such a help having someone like Jackson around.
He's very competent, a fully trained masseur.
I suppose he has been with Mr. Raphael a long time.
Oh, no, about 9 months, I think.
And is he married?
I don't think so. At least he's never mentioned it. Definitely not married, I'd say.
He's quite good-looking.
Yes, I suppose he is.
Have you worked for Mr. Raphael long?
4 or 5 years. After my husband died, I had to take a job again. I've got a daughter at school, and my husband left me rather badly off.
Mr. Raphael must be quite a difficult man to work for.
Not really, once you've got to know him. He flies into rages very easily, but it doesn't mean anything. I think the real trouble is that he gets bored with people. He's had 5 different ballet attendants in 2 years. He likes having someone new to bully. But he and I have always got on very well.
Mr. Jackson seems a very obliging young man.
He's very tactful and resourceful. However, I think he manages to have quite a good time.
But then everyone here seems to be having a good time as far as I can tell. The Hillingdons and the Dysons certainly seem to enjoy themselves.
The Hillingdons have been coming here for the past 2 or 3 years, I think. But Gregory Dyson goes back much longer than that. He knows the West Indies very well. He came here originally with his first wife. She was delicate and had to go abroad in the winter.
And she died? Or was it a divorce?
No, she died out here. I don't mean this particular island, but somewhere in the West Indies. There was some sort of trouble, I believe, some sort of scandal or other. He never talked about her. I gather they didn't get on very well.
And then he married this wife, Lucky. Really a most incredible name.
I believe she was a relation of his first wife.
Have they known the Hillingdons a great many years?
Only since the Hillingdons started coming out to the West Indies, I think.
The Hillingdons seem very pleasant. Quiet, of course.
Yes, they're both quiet.
Everyone says they're devoted to one another.
But you don't think they are?
You don't really think so yourself, do you, my dear?
Well, I have wondered sometimes.
Quiet men like Colonel Hillingdon are often attracted to flamboyant types. Lucky. Such a curious name. Do you think Mr. Dyson has any idea of what may be going on?
I can't imagine.
It's very sad about poor Major Palgrave, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose it is. Now, the people I'm really sorry for are the Kendalls.
Oh, yes, it is rather unfortunate when something of that kind happens in one's hotel.
People come here, you see, to enjoy themselves, don't they? To forget about illnesses and death and income tax and frozen pipes and all the rest of it. They don't like any reminders of mortality.
Now, that is very well put, my dear. Very well put indeed.
And you see, they're quite a young couple. They only took over from the Sanderson 6 months ago, and they're terribly worried about whether they're going to make a success of it or not. Because they haven't had much experience.
And you really think this might be disadvantageous to them?
Well, no, I don't, frankly. I don't think people remember anything out here for more than a day or two. Not in this atmosphere of, we've all come to enjoy ourselves, let's get on with it. I've told Molly so, but of course she is a worrier.
Oh, I have never thought of Mrs. Kendall as a worrier. She always seems so carefree.
I suspect a lot of that is put on. Actually, I think she's one of those anxious sort of people who can't help worrying all the time that things may go wrong.
I should have thought Mr. Kendall worried more than she did.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I imagine she's the worrier, and he worries because she worries, if you know what I mean.
That is interesting.
I think Molly wants desperately to try and appear very gay and to be enjoying herself. She looks very hard at it, but the effort exhausts her. And she has those odd fits of depression. She's not, not really very well balanced.
Oh, poor child.
I don't think Molly really has anything to worry about in this case. I mean, people are dying of coronary thrombosis or cerebral hemorrhage or things of that kind all the time these days.
Major Palgrave never mentioned to me that he had high blood pressure, did he to you?
He said so to somebody. I don't know who. It may have been Mr. Raphael. I know that Mr. Raphael says just the opposite, but then he's like that. Certainly Jackson mentioned it to me once. He said that the Major ought to be more careful over the alcohol he took.
I see. I expect you found the Major a rather boring old man. He told lots of stories and I expect repeated himself a great deal.
That's the worst of it. You do hear the same story again and again, unless you can manage to be quick enough to fend it off.
There was one story he was fond of telling about a murder. I expect he told you that, did he?
I believe he did. Now I come to think of it. Something about someone who gassed themselves, wasn't it? Only really, it was the wife who gassed him. I mean, she'd given him a sedative of some kind and then stuck his head in the gas oven. Was that it?
I don't think that was exactly it.
I told such a lot of stories, and one doesn't always listen.
He had a snapshot that he used to show people.
Yes, he did. Did he show it to you?
No, he didn't show it to me. We were interrupted.
Well, that must have been a relief.
I did not really feel that I had got to the bottom of the business about the Hillingdons and the Dysons. I rather got the impression that Esther Walters thought I was just an old scandalmonger. I decided that perhaps I might have better luck with Miss Prescott, the canon's sister.
The story I heard...
Yes, Miss Prescott?
It seemed... Though, of course, I don't want to talk any scandal, and I really know nothing about it.
Oh, I quite understand.
Well, it seems that there was some talk even when Mr. Dyson's first wife was still alive.
Really?
Apparently, this woman Lucky, who was, I think, a cousin of his first wife, came out here and joined them and did some work with him on birds or butterflies or whatever it was. And people talked, because they got on so well together, if you know what I mean.
People do notice things so often, don't they?
And then, of course, when his wife died rather suddenly...
She died here, on this island?
No, I think they were in Martinique or Tobago at the time.
I see.
But I gathered from some other people who were there at the time that the doctor wasn't satisfied.
Now, that is interesting.
It was only gossip, of course, but... Well, Mr. Dyson certainly married again very quickly. Only a month, I believe.
Only a month?
It seemed unfeeling.
Oh, I can well imagine. Was there any money?
I don't really know. He makes his little joke. Perhaps you've heard him about his wife being his lucky piece.
Yes, I've heard him.
And some people think that that means that he was lucky to marry a rich wife. Though, of course, she's very good-looking, if you care for that type.
Some men do, I believe.
I think myself that it was the first Mrs. Dyson who had the money.
Are the Hillingdons well off?
Well off, yes, but not fabulously rich. They have two boys at public school and a very nice place in Hampshire. And, oh, but there's my brother. I promised to walk round the island with him and he mustn't see me here gossiping. Do excuse me.
And she was off, but at least I felt that I was beginning to get a little further. I sat there for a while, staring at the sea. And then Mr. Dyson came by.
Any for your thoughts, Miss Marple?
Good morning. I couldn't help wondering how he would have reacted had I replied, I was wondering if you were a murderer. And it seemed most probable that he was. It all fitted in so nicely. The story about the death of the first Mrs. Dyson. Major Palgrave had certainly been talking about a wife murderer. Didn't he mention the brides in the bath? The trouble was that it all fitted too well. But who was I to demand murders made to measure? And then Lucky herself passed by, evidently in pursuit of Mr. Dyson. 40 if she's a day and looks it this morning. The Luckies of this world are so vulnerable to time.
No, that's fine, Jackson. Don't fuss. I'll be perfectly all right here by myself.
There was no time to be lost. Mr. Raphael was never left to himself for long, and I simply had to speak to him alone.
Well, what do you want?
I want to ask you something.
All right, let's have it. You want a subscription, I suppose. Missions in Africa, or a new church roof, or something of that kind.
As it happens, I am interested in several objects of that nature, and I shall be delighted if you will give me a subscription for them. But what I was going to ask you was, whether Major Palgrave ever told you about a murder?
Oh, so he told it to you too, did he? And I suppose you fell for it, hook, line and sinker.
I didn't really know what to think. What exactly did he tell you?
He prattled on about some fantastic woman. Lucretia Borgia, you're reincarnated. Beautiful, young, golden-haired, everything.
Oh? And whom did she murder?
Her husband, of course. Who do you think?
Did the Major show you a snapshot?
A snapshot of the woman, you mean? No. Why should he?
No particular reason.
Jackson! Jackson!
Shall I find him for you, Mr. Raphael?
You'll never find him. He's off tomcatting somewhere. Bad character. But it's used to me, all right. Jackson!
I'll go and fetch him for you.
No, that's not the way things stand, Tim. If you really...
Mr. Jackson, I'm sorry to disturb you, but Mr. Raphael is asking for you.
I've only just left him.
Oh, he seemed most insistent.
No peace for the wicked. I thought that special diet order he gave me would leave me at least a quarter of an hour's alibi. Apparently not. Thanks for the drink, Tim.
I feel sorry for that chap. I have to stand him a drink every now and then just to cheer him up. Can I offer you something, Miss Marple? How about a fresh lime?
Oh, not just now, thank you.
Good day, Miss Marple.
And good day, Doctor. Dr. Graham looks rather worried.
It's not surprising. We're all worried.
Oh, because of Major Palgrave's death.
Oh, I've left off worrying about that. People seem to have taken it in their stride. No, it's my wife, Molly.
Oh.
She's been having a succession of really bad dreams, nightmares. They all happen once in a while, but she seems to have them nearly all the time. They frighten her. She's got some sleeping pills, but she says they only make it worse. She struggles to wake up and can't.
What are the dreams about?
Oh, well, something or someone chasing her. And people watching her, spying on her all the time. She can't shake off the feeling even when she's awake.
Couldn't a doctor...
Well, that's just the trouble. Dr. Graham offered to help, but she won't hear of it. She's got a thing against doctors. Perhaps it's just that old Palgrave's death upset her, I don't know. But I'd better be getting on with the daily chores. You're sure about that fresh lime?
Quite sure, thank you. I want to have a word with Dr. Graham.
He's over there, at the table under the palm trees.
You mean that the snapshot you asked me to look for had nothing to do with your nephew at all?
There wasn't any such thing. I made it up, I'm afraid.
But why would you want to do that?
Well... You see, I was talking to Major Palgrave, or rather, he was talking to me, and he told me this story about a murder. And he took out his wallet and was about to show me a picture of the murderer when he suddenly caught sight of someone behind me and put the photo back into his wallet very quickly.
Now, let's get this quite clear. You thought that what he was going to show you was the photograph of a murderer?
That's what he said it was. At least, he said it was given him by this acquaintance who had told him this story about a man who was a murderer.
And you believed him?
Oh, I don't know if I really believed him or not at the time, but then, you see, the next day, he was found dead.
I see, yes. I do see.
That was why I asked you to look for the snapshot, but obviously it had disappeared.
Excuse me, Miss Marple, but is what you're telling me now, is it really true this time?
I don't wonder you're doubting me. But it is true. And even if you don't believe me, I thought I ought to tell you.
Why?
I thought you ought to have the fullest possible information in case you decided to take any steps about it.
Well, thank you, Miss Marple. And thank you for being so honest with me. As it happens, I'm going over to Jamestown this afternoon to have a word with Daventry at the administrator's office. I might mention it to him.
Look here, Graham, you don't think you may be making too much of a rather fanciful story told you by an elderly lady? I mean, you know what these old dears are like.
Yes, I know that. I've said the same thing to myself, but I can't quite convince myself. There's something about this particular elderly lady that rings true.
Well, the only thing you've got to go on is that a chambermaid says that a bottle of pills which the authorities had relied on for evidence wasn't in the Major's room before his death. But there could be 100 explanations for that. The girl could simply have made a mistake.
She was very positive.
What do you want me to do? Go to the CID? Suggest they dig the old boy up? It'd make a lot of trouble.
It could be kept quiet.
Kept quiet? In Sazon Array? The grapevine would be onto it before it had even happened. All the same, I suppose we'll have to do something. But if you ask me, it's all a mare's nest.
I profoundly hope it is. I really do. But I have a nasty feeling our elderly lady may be onto something.
It was one of those evenings when there seemed to be something electric in the atmosphere. Soon there would be light and laughter and dancing. But now, just as it was beginning to get dark, it was as if the whole island were waiting for something to happen. Colonel Hillingdon seemed particularly ill at ease, restlessly pacing the terrace, and Gregory Dyson, who had evidently been drinking, was weaving his way unsteadily into the dining room.
Can't you stop working for a moment, Molly? Why don't you just relax and enjoy life a little?
I'm just checking that the tables are properly laid, Mr. Dyson.
Mr. Dyson? Aren't we being a bit formal? I thought we were all one big, happy family. Ed and Evelyn and me and Lucky and you and Tim and Esther Walters and old Raphael. Aren't we all one big happy family?
Tim and I think it's more polite not to be too free with Christian names.
Oh, don't give me any of that. Come on, Molly, my little love. Let me buy you a drink.
Ask me later. I have a few things I must get on with before dinner.
Oh, no, you haven't. You're a lovely girl, Molly. I hope Tim appreciates what a lucky man he is.
I see to it that he does.
I could go for you in a big way, you know. Though I wouldn't let my wife hear me say so.
I really must go, Mr. Dyson. Tim will be wondering where I've got to.
What kept you? You look quite flustered.
Oh, Gregory Dyson.
What did he want?
He wanted to make a pass at me.
Blast.
Oh, don't worry. I can do all the blasting necessary. Oh, and now I'm going to slip down to the beach. Grab a few minutes to myself before the evening gets going.
Mr. Dyson!
What? What is it? Who's that?
It's only Victoria, Mr. Dyson.
What do you want?
I brought you this, sir. It does belong to you, doesn't it?
My bottle of serenite tablets. Where did you find it?
I found it where it had been put. In the gentleman's room.
What do you mean? What gentleman?
The gentleman who is dead. I do not think he sleeps very well in his grave.
Why the devil not? Are you telling me you found my bottle of tablets in Major Palgrave's bungalow?
Yes, that's right. You missed them. Don't you remember you asked me about them?
Yes, I did. I thought I just mislaid them.
No, you did not mislay them, Mr. Dyson. They were taken from your bungalow and put in Major Palgrave's bathroom.
How do you know?
I know. I saw. Someone put them in a dead gentleman's room. And now, I've given them back to you.
What do you mean? Who did you see? Victoria!
What's the matter, Greg? Who is that you're talking to?
Victoria, the girl who does our place.
What does she want? Making a pass at you?
Don't be stupid, Lucky. She's got some idiotic idea into her head.
What about?
But you remember I couldn't find my serenite tablets the other day?
You said you couldn't.
What the devil do you mean by that?
Oh, for goodness sake, what's got into you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Everybody goes about being so damn mysterious. That girl brought the tablets back to me.
Had she stolen them?
No, she found them somewhere, I think.
So what's all the mystery?
Oh, nothing. She just riled me, that's all.
Hey,
Molly. Molly, what on earth's the matter?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, Mrs. Ellington. I didn't think there was anyone around.
Is something wrong? What happened? Is it some trouble between you and Tim?
No, it's not that. Oh,
thank goodness for that. You always look so happy.
I know more than you do. Tim and I are always saying how wonderful it is that you and Colonel Ellington seem so happy together after being married for so many years.
I'm glad we managed to give that impression. If you want to know the truth, we've hardly said a word to one another in private for the last 3 years.
I can't believe it.
Oh, we both put up quite a good show.
But what went wrong?
Oh, just the usual.
Another woman?
Yes, another woman. And I don't suppose it will be too difficult for you to guess who she is.
Do you mean Mrs. Dyson? Lucky?
Edward just lost his head completely over her. He was stupid enough to come and tell me about it. It made him feel better, I suppose. It didn't occur to him that it wouldn't make me feel better.
Did he want to leave you?
Oh, no. He didn't want to break up the happy home. And there are the children, remember? Lucky didn't want a divorce either. Greg's a very rich man, after all. So we agreed to live and let live.
And what about Greg?
As far as I know, Greg's in blissful ignorance.
How can you bear it?
One gets used to anything. But sometimes, I'd like to kill that woman. But how the hell did we get on to all this? We're supposed to be talking about you. What's the matter, Molly?
It's just that I think there's something wrong with me.
Wrong? What do you mean, wrong? What sort of wrong?
I'm frightened. I'm terribly frightened.
Oh. What are you frightened of?
Everything. Voices in the bushes, doors opening, footsteps. As though someone were watching me all the time, spying on me. Somebody hates me, I'm certain of that. Somebody hates me.
Oh, my dear child. How long has all this been going on?
I don't know. It started by degrees. And there have been other things, too. There are times that I can't account for. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's 5 o'clock and I can't remember anything since half past two.
Oh, but surely that's just because
And I'm you're... in a different place. Sometimes I'm wearing different clothes, and sometimes I've been talking to people and not even remembering that I've done so.
Molly, my dear, you ought to see a doctor.
I won't see a doctor. I wouldn't go near a doctor.
Does Tim know about all this?
Not really. But he's anxious about me, and he watches me. It's as though he were trying to shield me from something. But it's getting late. I must be getting back to the kitchen. I'm sorry to have gone on like that. It's probably nothing.
I think I'm onto something, Jim.
How do you mean?
I think I'm onto something. It may mean money, real money.
Now look, girl, you be careful. Don't get yourself tangled up in something that may be dangerous.
I know how to look after myself. And I know how to play this game. It's big money. I know it. Something I see and something I guess. And I think I guess right.
Where were you just now?
Down on the beach. Why?
Oh, no reason.
It's time we changed for dinner. Greg and Lucky will be waiting for us.
There's no rush. Evelyn?
Yes, Edward.
Would you mind if we chucked all this in and went back to England?
What, we've only just come out here?
I know. But would you mind?
You really want to go back to England? Back home?
Yes.
Leaving Lucky here?
Yes, leaving Lucky here.
Why?
Because I'm at breaking point. I can't stick it anymore. I want to get out of here.
You fell wildly in love with Lucky, and now you've got over it? Is that what you're telling me? Or is it over on her side? Is that the trouble? Does Greg know about it? I've often wondered.
I don't know. He never says anything. He seems friendly enough.
Men can be extraordinarily obtuse. Look, what's all this about, Edward? Has Lucky got some kind of hold over you, is that it? You must tell me the truth. It's the only way if you want me to stand by you.
If I don't get away from that woman soon, I shall kill her.
I can understand that, but why you, for goodness sake?
Because of what she made me do.
What did she make you do?
I helped her to commit a murder.
Lucky. Do you know what you're saying?
I didn't know that that was what I was doing. And there were things she asked me to get. At the pharmacy. She got me to copy out a prescription she had.
Where is this?
4 years ago, when we were in Martinique. It was Greg's wife.
You mean Greg's first wife, Gail? Are you telling me that Lucky poisoned her?
Yes. And I helped her. When I realized what I...
When you realized what had happened, Lucky pointed out to you that you had written the prescription, that you had got the drugs, that you and she were in it together. Is that right?
Yes. She said she'd done it out of pity. That Gail was suffering, that she'd begged Lucky to get something that would end it all.
And you believed her?
No, I didn't, really. I accepted it because I wanted to believe it.
Because you were infatuated with her. Did you still believe it when she married Greg?
I suppose so.
And how much did Greg know about it?
Nothing at all.
I find that hard to believe. You don't think they both used you so that no one would suspect them?
I don't know. It never occurred to me. I only know I've got to get free of Lucky. She makes me feel like I'm tied to her. By the thing we did together. That's why we've got to chuck all this and go back to England.
Yes, Edward, we will. But not now. Not straight away.
Why not?
We must carry on as usual, just for the present. Do you understand? Don't let Lucky have an inkling of what we're up to.